There's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, there's a Christian welcome here, hallelujah, there's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, there's a Christian welcome here. Well, good morning. We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be together this morning. And I think we're all aware that this is Father's Day. And I was just looking over the auditorium here and seeing how many fathers we have with us here this morning. Quite a few of us here. And there's some more young men that will probably be fathers someday. So we're going to think about fathers speaking to their children. If you go to Proverbs with me, we have a term in Proverbs 23 times that says, my son, my son. We want to think about that this morning. But we're going to enlarge it to include my daughter as well. So we have some good counsel here from a father to his son or to his children. In chapter 4 says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. So we're going to think about that this morning. A father to his son or daughter. 23 times we have the term my son. Proverbs is, the word itself means comparison. And there's a lot of that in Proverbs. In fact, just look at verse 7. There's a comparison right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you and I all know people who despise anything that has to do with God. They don't want to hear anything that has to do with God. We're living in a day when that is getting more that way all the time. They don't want to have anything to do with God. That reminds them of some of their failings and that kind of thing. And they don't want to hear that. So, Proverbs, comparison. And we're going to think about that this morning. So, the Proverbs is of Solomon, it tells us, the son of David, king of Israel. And then verses 2 through 6 gives us the reason that he wrote the Proverbs. Let's look what he says here. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, a wise son will hear, and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So Solomon said, this is the reason he's writing the Proverbs here. To know wisdom, and that word wisdom is a key word in Proverbs here. You find that word 41 times in Proverbs. So that word wisdom means the skill to live life successfully, wise behavior, wise dealings, and so on. Wisdom, good sense. Then it has another word here. Let's look at some words it gives here. Instruction, you find that 25 times here in Proverbs. And it means moral discipline of one's life. Take how you live your life, okay? Understanding is 52 times, to be able to distinguish between true and false and good and bad. What matters most and what doesn't matter at all? Understanding. And so I think we can understand some of these words, what they mean. And then he goes on down through. In the next verse, he talks about justice. That means the right, something that's right. And judgment, there's another word, right behavior. Equity, fairness. Subtlety, prudence. They said subtlety to the simple. That simple is used 15 times here in Proverbs. And it means someone that's easily to be persuaded. You can talk them into anything. They're simple. They lack judgment. They're naive. That person is. And so anything goes with it, with the simple. And he said it's to give subtlety or prudence to that person. And then he said in verse 5, a wise son will hear and increase learning. That's interesting. A wise son will hear and increase learning. A wise man, there says in verse 5. And verse 6, knowledge, you find it in verse 4 again, the word knowledge is 42 times. Apprehension of reality, know what is real. And discretion, you find it 6 times. It's ability to formulate and carry out right actions. So it's just a bunch of words there he gives there. The purpose for writing Proverbs is so people would understand what life is all about, how to live life and make wise decisions and not be among the simple that don't care what happens. And so that's why he said he's writing this to us. The dark sayings there is riddles. And I had to think of Samson's riddle back there in Judges. When Samson, you remember what his riddle was? Who can give me Samson's riddle when they came to him? When he was getting married, remember, he gave him a riddle and he said, if you can figure out my riddle within this marriage time, it was 7 days, I think. He said, I'll give you each a suit of clothing and so on. But if you can't figure it out, you have to give me seven of those. Okay. So anyone know what the riddle was? Yeah, that's what it was. Here was the riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. That was Samson's riddle. So it's the dark saying hidden in that. You don't know ragging exactly what he meant, do you? But we know because we're on this side of it. We know what it meant. So Samson told him that riddle. And so that's dark sayings. It's a riddle. It's things, something that is hidden in the words. Let's move on then. Let's get to the Proverbs here now. The fear, number seven, the first one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now we come to the first, my son, verse 8. And we're going to look at a few of them here this morning, not all of them, just the first couple chapters here. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Who can tell me what the fifth commandment was in the Old Testament? The commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here he says, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. So here we're together, husband and wife, giving some instruction to their son. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now he comes up with another son, and this is giving another side to it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Who knows what the word entice means? Tempting. Okay, that's a good one. Tempting. They tempt you. And look what they're saying to him here. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Doesn't that sound good? Cast thy lot among us. Let us have one person. Then he comes back with my son again. Verse 15. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of a bird. You know, bird, you don't put something out that the bird knows what it is, but you put something out to catch a bird. We have a little chipmunk that's around our house there. And he's trying to catch him. And I have a small live animal trap. It's not a very big one. And I thought, sure, I would get that guy. But it was snapping the trap and there was nothing there every time. So yesterday, I was right inside the window there and I heard the snap and looked out. So I run right out through a hole about that big, just a little square hole, right out through it. But man, I didn't know they could make themselves that small, but he came right out through there. So a snare. A snap, a trap. Now, that chipmunk didn't mind that trap at all. He went in there and ate the sunflower seed I had in there. I was fine with him, but he could get away again. But a snare, you don't put a snare out in sight of a bird. They know what it is, no. In vain, the net is spread in the sight of a bird. They don't go in it when they see it. And they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owner thereof. So he's saying, my son, don't join up with that kind of people. Don't cast your lot with the wrong kind of people. Be careful who you associate with. Take time and learn to know. You know, your parents have a reason for telling you certain people that they don't want you to be with. They have reason for that. And we know that when we're growing up, you know, our parents will tell us, now, stay away from that certain person over there. He's not a good influence for you. So stay away from those kind of people. And so that's what the Proverbs is doing here. This Proverbs, Solomon is saying, stay away from those kind of people. Don't cast your lot in with them. So he said, listen, my son, the first one, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Don't forsake the law of your mother. honor your father and mother. So the first one, my son, yield not to temptation. Now let's move on then. Let's go to chapter 2. My son, again, hide God's word. I have written here, hide God's word in your heart. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou know. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we go right back to verse 7 again, the fear of the Lord. Then you will know it if you do that kind of thing. So Solomon is saying here, hide God's word in your heart, my son. It's the secret to a good life to do that. Go to chapter 3 and verse 1 again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Hide God's word in your heart. Listen to my instruction. Psalm 119 is the verse, the words that we often think about in this regard. Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11 say, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What a challenge. What a commitment to say, I'm going to hide God's word in my heart so I don't follow this evil way that we were talking about there in chapter 1 of Proverbs. We don't want to follow that evil way. Go with the wrong way. Psalm 1 is another one where it says, who can start Psalm 1 for me? It slipped my mind. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here we have the comparison, don't we? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and goes on to talk about the tree planted by the rivers of water and so on. So don't follow that wrong way. Hide God's word in your heart so you're prepared when those times come. Look at four. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. Here we have, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Look at verse 3. For I was my father's son, Solomon says, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, he says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Follow my instructions, my son, my daughter. Follow my instructions. Listen to my instructions. And 420, chapter 4, verse 21 as well, it's 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So he's saying here, keep my words. Hide my words in your heart. They are life to those that find them, full life, abundant life, good health. And so that's what we want, isn't it? Solomon said, this is what you will get if you follow my ways, my son. Now here in chapter 4, I'd like to notice something. Chapter verses 23 to 27 of chapter 4. There's four P's here. Let's look what they are here. Verse 23, keep thy heart or protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder thy path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. In verse 27, turn not to the right hand, to the left. Remove thy foot from evil or preserve your feet as you go. So four P's there. So it's a challenge for us to walk in God's ways, to follow him, to live our life according to him. Let's move on to some more, my sons. Let's back up to chapter 3 again. We sort of jumped over it. My son, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, forget not my way, but let's look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and here verses 5 through 11 says this: "Ye have forgotten," talking us to look to Jesus here in the beginning of this, "but you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." How many like to be chastened? How many like to be corrected? We don't like that, do we? No. I remember I had it already. I've received some correction from my father already, and I needed it, and it did me good. I don't know where I'd be if my father would have never corrected me. You know, it's one of David's sons. I forget which one it is right now, but it says his father never said him nay in any way. Can you imagine that? One of David's sons, his father never told him not to do that. And I hope that we have fathers here that know a little bit better than that how to take care of children, because that's not taking care of them, just letting them do their own thing. That don't work. And so we have fathers here. If your fathers correct you, that's wonderful. Thank God for that. Because God also corrects us. That's what he's talking about here in Hebrews. Just like our fathers corrected us. So the Lord loveth whom he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son he receiveth. So it says if we don't experience God's chastening, then we must not be his sons. We're not legitimate sons if we don't experience that. He said, because every son will experience that. So, but he said, look why God does it. In verse 10, it says, "For a few days our fathers chastened us after their own pleasure to get us to do things they think we ought to do. But God for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." That's beautiful. God wants us to be like him. That's why he chastens us. And so if you experience some things in your life, you thought, why, Lord, why am I going through this? Just say, thank you, Lord. I think you're teaching me something in this. Thank you. And I think we can gain a lot by doing that. So fathers, correct your sons. Yeah. My son, another one here, verse 21 of Proverbs 3, verse 21. Look here. My son, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall it be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. So here he's talking about, again, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Wisdom. I had to think back to Genesis. Well, let's move on here, though. Another verse here in verse 18. Look what wisdom is to us. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom. When was a tree of life? Who can tell me? When do we have record of the tree of life? Genesis chapter 3. And let's go back here and look at it. And look what happened there at the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3. We know that's when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And then the Lord sent them out of the Garden of Eden. He made coats for them, put them out of the garden. And look at verse 22 of chapter 3. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man from the place, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So it was God's goodness to man that he chased him. They penned him out in the garden. Because God said, I don't want them to eat the tree of life and live forever in their sin. I don't want that. So he chased him out of the garden back then. When does the tree of life appear again? Revelation chapter 22. We will partake of the tree of life. Won't that be a wonderful time? When we're with our Lord forever, we will partake of the tree of life. So chapters 1 through 4. Chapter 5 then of Proverbs, he talks about moral, yeah, pay attention and listen. Sin brings consequences, I have written here for chapter 5. But there's 5 times he talks about sexual sin in Proverbs. 5 times. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 6 again, chapter 7, chapter 9. 5 different times he talks about that in Proverbs. I think it's because he knew his son was young and he faced temptations. And so he was laying it before him, son, be careful. Be careful, son. And we need to do the same thing. As I think back to the days when I was young, temptations were strong. And let's not forget, the temptation never leaves us. I still remember Brother Willis Croft when he was, I guess he was in his 70s when he died, I think. But he told me one time we were visiting him. He had cancer. He was on his deathbed. And he said, Paul, he said, I thought when I get this age, I wouldn't have temptation anymore. But he said, it's worse than ever. He had doubts. And I know people, as they get older, they have doubts. Am I ready to meet the Lord? Is there anything in my life that I've missed? Am I really ready for this? And so temptation is strong. Now, it's a different kind of temptation for a young person. But that's what he's talking about here. Be careful, son. Be careful. And we could go on. Chapter 6 talks about foolish. It says, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou stricken thy hand with a stranger. So don't sign notes for people, he's saying. Be careful. Why? Because if you do and that person can't pay, you know who has to pay? The person that signed his note becomes responsible for that note. So he gives a lot of things throughout Proverbs. My son, my son, my son. He goes on back through Proverbs that way. And so I think I'm going to close with that. But to talk about my son, my son. So keep my ways, my son. Listen to instruction. Be wise. Don't be like the foolish man who doesn't want anything to do with God, but be wise and take care of yourself and follow the right path. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for the challenges we find in Proverbs to be wise, to follow you, to live lives. Help us as fathers, Lord, in this auditorium to see the importance of training our children, the way we train them, the things we teach them, and to realize that they are following in our steps. So help us, Lord, as we leave this place to carry your word with us, to be all that you want us to be, and we thank you in Jesus' name. You have a song for us?
Church hymnal song number 488. The song is A Charge to Keep I Have. You've been given a charge this morning if you're a father or if you're a son or daughter, and that definitely includes each one of us. So yeah, we've been given a charge to glorify God and to fulfill the calling that God has given us.
Oh.
And now, brethren, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Depart in peace.